Yeah. Well, we're coming up on Resurrection Weekend. It's a month away. And that certainly is a great event to celebrate and to remember, to refresh our hearts and minds on the importance of the resurrection and all the great benefits that it has to us who believe it. You know, there's no benefit to someone if they don't believe it, but it's a great benefit to those who believe that they have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. And when we believe those things, then we have all that God has ever offered to anyone is complete in our lives. You know, it is all about what it says in Colossians. I want to look in Colossians this morning. In Colossians chapter 2, about what we have as a result of believing that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We'll begin chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." And verse 7, "Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." We're to abound in the things that we have as a result of what Jesus Christ did for us and what God has benefited us with thanksgiving. And it's great to see that our walk is to be carried out the same way that we have received these things. You know, it's as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Well, how have we received Christ Jesus the Lord? How did we get to the point where we received the benefits of Jesus Christ in our lives? Wasn't it? Yeah, it was by believing. It was by faith. It was by confessing with our mouth that he is Lord, that he is our master now. He's going to be our boss. He's going to be the one that we endeavor to emulate day by day. He's our master. We are to follow in his steps. As a servant follows his master, you know, with that kind of heart, right? We don't fear him. We are not enslaved by him, but he is a master in our lives. He is the Lord of our life. We have confessed that man Jesus is now, he's the one that we emulate. He's the one we aim to please, right? In our lives. And we believe that Jesus or that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's how we received it. That's how we are to walk in it. Right. There's no difference, see? I mean, sometimes we mix up our walk, how we conduct our lives, with works. And having that be, you know, what we're to aim for. I got to be a better person. You know, I have to do this. I have to do that. Well, no. The walk is in the same way that we received it to begin with, we're to walk in it with great faith, great confidence in what God has provided for us. And as we do that, as we renew our minds to it, like it says in Romans 12, then we are transformed. Then the changes just roll out in our lives. The encouragement here to be rooted and built up in him is the same way that we received it to begin with. We received it by grace because we just simply believed it. We believed that God raised him from the dead. We believed that he was the payment for sin. You know? We believe these truths about him. We believe that we have now been given that Spirit of promise, that Holy Spirit of promise. Each one of us has been given that as a gift. We believe that. We received it. How did we receive it the first time? How did we speak in tongues? How did we do that? Did we fast and pray for 30 days, 40 days? Like Jesus did? 40 days in the wilderness? He had to do the law. Remember, we don't. Right? How did we receive it? How did we actually begin to walk spiritually? By believing. All we did was believe that we had it. And that, yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Manifest the Spirit. I would that you all speak in tongues. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Then I will. I desire to. And I believe I can. And then I do. and I manifest it. It's the same way with all the manifestations of the Spirit. Right? The works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works. Okay, well, then I believe I can receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I can understand and see specifically when there are devil spirits. I can know that. Why? Because I've fasted? Because I've inflicted myself with suffering and lack? No. Just simply because I believe it to be true. I believe that God really speaks truly in His Word. That this is His Word, and that whatever it says of me is true. Whatever it says of you is true. And therefore, I believe it, I carry it out. That's how to be rooted and grounded in Him. The same way we started is the same way we walk, with faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we try to do it any other way, it's hard. It becomes very difficult to earn something from God, doesn't it? By the works of the law, it becomes very difficult. So, and we abound therein by making sure you're at church every Sunday. We abound therein by making sure we're at Bible study every Wednesday. We abound therein by... with thanksgiving. Yeah, with thanksgiving. Now, yes, being at a fellowship once, twice, as many times as you can during the week is wonderful because you get built up with the Word of God if the Word's there. This fellowship, this time, we get into the Word of God. We're encouraged with one another's testimonies about what God has been doing for us. We're sharing grace. We're praising God. We're maintaining the doctrine of truth by getting into the Word. This is very important for us. For us, with our understanding, with our five senses understanding, we must understand the Word, like Patty was sharing earlier. Just to have the Spirit is not enough. We've got to understand the truth of the Word. He wants us to come unto a knowledge of the truth. But we do that, we make these efforts out of faith, out of our belief that it is true. We don't make these efforts because it's the right thing to do. I should be at church today. I don't know why, but I guess I'll go. If we approach it that way, we get very little out of it. But if we approach it with great faith, man, I am going because I believe God has something for me. Because I think being with my brothers and sisters in Christ who are like-minded in the Word is important for my life. Because God says so. Right? Forsake not the assembly of the saints, the fellowship of the saints. Don't forsake it. Don't count it as not important in your life. That's what the Word says. The fellowship of the saints, that's important. Being around others who love God, who want to believe God, who want to see signs, miracles, and wonders following them. Boy, I'd rather be with you guys if your heart is that than, with those guys out there in the world who, don't believe in miracles. Don't believe that God's willing to do something for them. Aren't willing to sit down and, just kind of take a few minutes and pray. Incorporate God into the things that we do. I'd rather be with you because you're willing to do that. It's an important part of our lives together, isn't it? Yeah. So we abound with thanksgiving. I'm so thankful that I have this opportunity. I'm so thankful. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I get distracted. We're human. Sometimes I get caught up in my own stupidity. And yet when I come back to my senses, quote unquote, my spiritual senses, when I come down, back down, and get a grip on my solid rock, I can be thankful. And it's being thankful that we abound. We abound in the things that God has provided for us by His grace when we're thankful. God, I'm so thankful I have this opportunity. I'm so thankful, to be with you. I'm so thankful. When I wake up every morning, I should be thankful that I live in a home where my wife believes God as much as I do, where she is just as committed as I am, where my daughter loves God, where my sons, my kids, they love God. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for the things that God has provided for me day by day. I'm thankful I'm still alive, drawing breath, able to speak and speak for Him. Yeah, sure. Pride is, you know, you have nothing to be thankful for. You've given it all yourself. You've done it all yourself. So why be thankful to anybody but yourself?
Right?
That's pride. You know, then it says in verse 8, look what it says in verse 8, beware. Ah, now, be careful now. Be careful out there. All right, you're my kids. Hey, it's like a father with his children. You know, their children grow up and they get ready to go out on their own and get out there and you go, now be careful now. There's a lot of wolves out there, you know, a lot of lions, you know, out there seeking who they may devour, right? So beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, beware. And that word spoil means it's that term, you know, involved in war, where the victor takes the spoil, carries it away. That's the term that it uses, beware. It's because it's a battle out there. Lest any man spoil you, make you a spoil. Through what? Through philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, rudiments of the world. Those four things. Philosophy, you know, human wisdom, man's wisdom. You know, well, man has it, they've got it figured out better than God does, right? Well, you know, yeah, I know that says that in Scripture, but, you know, let's think about this logically. Have you ever seen a miracle? Have you ever seen anyone get up from the dead? They start to reason with you that way. Well, look, I don't have to see. I didn't have to be there to see the stone rolled away from the tomb to believe it. And even though I didn't see it with my eyes, I believed it, and I've reaped all those benefits. We believe first. We don't let human wisdom or philosophy, right, take it away from us. Right? Vain deceit. Vain deceit. Vain means empty. It's empty. It's devoid of truth. It has no truth in it. And that's the deception that's out there sometimes. They will deceive you having no truth at all. You know, so you beware. You watch out for that out there in the world. The world does not believe that there is a God, let alone believe God. Right? We do. And we see the results of that day by day. But it's a fight out there. It's a battle out there. You know, I remember in India, when the last time we were in India, we went to Nepal, and we sat in the fellowship at Purin's home, and one of the young men that got up, he's just a young kid. He couldn't have been 17, I think. And he got up, and he shared his testimony. It had been the first time he'd been back. He'd been out for a while. And his testimony just happened to be the testimony that really began things moving in Nepal with his cousin. I think it was his cousin who he was instrumental in raising from the dead. This kid had seen his cousin dead. I think it was his cousin. Yeah, it was his cousin. Seen him dead. And he and Purin and Purin's wife ministered to him and raised him from the dead. And he got tricked and left the fellowship. Because after that, he'd been really just so thankful to God. He prayed. He got a job. He got a great job. He was making great money. He was driving taxi. He was making great money. And he didn't put fellowship as a priority. And he had come back that morning because he'd gotten word that there were some visitors coming, that we were all going to be there, and he wanted to be there. And when he got back, he this was his testimony of that particular morning, you know, that he came back and he realized that he had been tricked, that the adversary had tricked him out of coming to fellowship and keeping things in order in his life, that he had allowed all the money and all the success out there to distract him and to trick him. And he came back and he was so thankful that he was finally back in fellowship. And he had seen it that morning. He saw how really tricked he'd gotten. So, I mean, this kid got tricked and he saw, you know, what many would think is the ultimate of all miracles. Yeah. Raising someone from the dead. So, hey, beware, be careful out there. You know, it's a jungle out there. It's a five senses jungle out there. You know? So, you know, it happens. So we are cautious. We don't allow things. And that's another reason why the fellowship of the saints is so important. Because when we come together, we remind ourselves, we strengthen each other's faith. We remind ourselves that this is real. God, look what God did for Greg's mom. Look what God's done for all of us. See? And not after Christ. See, they spoil you, and it's not according to the things of Christ. You know? 4 verse 9 says, and here's really the heart of this section, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the way the Old English puts it. Right? That was one of those phrases that you just kind of, what the heck? You know, Godhead bodily. Well, you know, Godhead is a different form of the Greek word theos for God. But it just means all that God is. You know, all that God is, all that God has to offer for mankind dwelled in Jesus Christ. And now, that's in you. In him, in Christ, dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the fullness of God in a person, in a human being, was exemplified in the life of Jesus Christ. And you are complete in him. You are complete in him. You know, people look at this, they wrestle with this verse of Scripture. They, well, does that mean that Jesus is God? Well, that certainly must mean that, because after all the fullness of God, and the translations, every translation, you know, pushes that into people's head. You know, all the fullness of God in human form. That has nothing to do with form. It has everything to do with him being a physical man. And for the power of God to be resident within a person, within a human being. Everything that God designed life to be, Jesus Christ exemplified it. Jesus Christ made it plain and evident. And you are complete in him. You are completely, completely, absolutely complete in him. Look back at chapter 1, verse 18. It says, he, Jesus Christ, right, referring to Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. Firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. I would you that? What are you going to say with that? How many people have died from the beginning until Jesus Christ? How many? I don't know. Countless. He's the firstborn from the dead. The first one. Never to see death again. Right? But look what it says. That in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the ultimate in examples. And he is above all. God has placed him above all, right? Given him a name which is above every name. For it pleased the Father, verse 19, that what? That in him should all fullness dwell. In him, all the fullness of God dwelled in him. What was his life like? It's a pretty cool life he led. It's a pretty cool life. An awesome life. Right? Look at Ephesians Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, right? This is what I was speaking of. He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, also in that which is to come. Jesus Christ has the name above every name, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of him, God, who fills all in all. You know, the church, Jesus Christ, in him dwelt all the fullness of God. In the church, collectively, dwells all the fullness of God. Anything that God has to offer dwells right here. And in chapter 3, or verse 19, now verse 16, that he would grant you, chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That God, boy, what a wonderful thing that God would do for us. That he would put that Spirit within us that would enable us to be strengthened with might, with power, with great ability. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ, the same Spirit that Jesus Christ had, dwells within you. Within you. It's not upon you, it is within you. That Christ, that power, that authority, that dominion dwells within you. It's an awesome thing. And it dwells in you, it lives, it thrives in you by faith. Through faith. If you don't believe it's there, you never use it. Right? It's like going into the deepest, darkest corners of my basement. There are some things that I have forgotten totally that they're there, but they and if I don't know they're there, I can't use them. And there's a lot of things down there in that deep, dark corner side that I don't know anything about anymore. But they're still there. And if I ever discover them, maybe I might be able to make use of them. Sell them on eBay or something. It's the same thing with the Spirit. If we don't realize it's there and believe it, and we will never utilize it. But if we know, if we come to that knowledge that we know, then by faith, we manifest it. We manifest it. By faith, that you being, verse 17, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And those are, that's big. That's the big dimension. It's the figure of speech to show you the fullness of this love of Christ that you can know, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Why? That you may be filled with what? All the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Just like Jesus Christ was filled with all the fullness of the Godhead, the word that's used there. You and I are filled with all the fullness of God. See? I mean, this is like, whoop. Sorry, that is just so huge, so big. I'm struggling with this little bitty thing here, you know, in my life. This itty bitty challenge I have. And yet, you're telling me I'm filled with all the fullness of God? Whoa. You know, we make mountains out of molehills. We do. When we've got all the fullness of God. Yeah. So back to Colossians. Right? And you are complete in Him. You're complete in Him. You're lacking nothing, which means you are filled with all the fullness of God. You have it all. You and I have it all. But I don't know. That's too much. I'm wrestling with that. Sorry. Can't deal with that. And yet it's so simple. It's not complex. It's not, you know, I mean, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was he? He was a man. He was God's only begotten Son. And he was challenged with the same challenges you and I are. Right? Tempted in all points, yet without sin. He didn't blow it. That's why we look to him as our example. Boy, how did he get through that situation? And he went through every single one just like you and I have had to go through. Maybe I haven't had the same challenges as you have. You haven't had the same challenges I have. But Jesus Christ has been through every single one of them. There's a lot written in the book, but there's a lot more that wasn't written. Right? As it says at the end of the Gospel of John, I think it's at the end of the Gospel of John. I mean, all these things, yeah. If we take the time to write all the things that the Lord did, there wouldn't be room enough in the books in all of the world to contain it. Meaning there's still a lot that he was exposed to and challenged with that wasn't written in there. But through every one of them, he never sinned. He always came through because God brought him through. He looked to God. And then we are filled with the same fullness. That's like so giant. And yet if we would just get just a little finger on it, we'd be all right. We'd be good. Good to go. And we are. We do. We do have a pretty good handle on it. It's just good to remind ourselves. Yes, I am filled with all the fullness of God. I've got everything in my life. You have everything in your life that God has ever made available to anyone. You have it. He's made you his child. He's seated you on his right hand. He has said to you, sit on my right hand. Because this is a seat of authority. This is a seat of dominion. This is a seat of power and strength. Now you sit there. No, not the first one, because that's Jesus' seat. You sit. That's our privilege as sons and daughters of God. We're complete. I mean, I don't have to do anything more to sit down. He's made us sit, it says in Ephesians, right? He's made us sit together in heavenly places. Sit down. Oh, but I don't deserve it. Sit down. No, I got to go. I got to earn a little bit more. I'll feel better about that. No, sit down and sit down now. Yeah. Praise God. There's more in John chapter 1. Look at John chapter 1. We may finish up here because this is kind of a neat verse. A neat section here in John chapter 1. Verse 14. Wrong? No?
That's even though the word was.
No. The word was made flesh. That I'm going to. The word was made flesh in verse 14 it says, and dwelt among us. Right? How was that word made flesh? All the promises that God had made about redemption and salvation was brought to pass in the life of Jesus Christ. Now it was made flesh. Now, boom, it's happening. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Boy, who else could have more glory than the only begotten Son of God? And he walked in it, full of grace and truth. Right? Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. His purpose was determined before mine was. Jesus Christ having to fulfill the role of redemption was certainly determined before God put all the pieces together. He said, okay, let's see. All right, in order to do redemption, let's start from the Redeemer and let's work backwards. We got to have somebody to announce him. Ah, good idea. All right. That was John the Baptist. Right? And then he just worked it all back. He said, aha, got the plan, got it figured out. And God can do that in like a split second. And he was ready. Right? As soon as they fell and were trying to hide in the garden, God had it figured out. Right? He had the whole plan figured out in an instant. And then it says, look, verse 16, and of his fullness have what? Have all we received of his fullness. Have all we received grace for grace. Grace, it emphasizes grace. What we have received all the fullness of God in Christ. Just like the fullness that dwelled within Jesus Christ, we have now received that same fullness. and it's grace. It is grace for grace. You know, that's a great way to put emphasis on unmerited favor, isn't it? He did it by grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he walked in God's heart. See, he hath declared him. He made him known because all the fullness of God dwelled within him. All the enablements that God has ever given to any man was in Christ and upon his life. And now you and I have that same thing. So what a great privilege, what a great blessing. You know, what great benefits we have just simply because we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. We received grace for grace. You know? Grace for grace's sake. We've received it all. And we have all that fullness. We are complete in him. Now we just simply walk in it. You know, as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. By that same faith, that same recognition of God's grace. And be thankful. If we recognize that it is grace for grace, it's simple to be thankful. It's simple. You know, because that's all God desires from us, is a little thanks here and there. You know, you're complete in him. Thank you.
Thanks.
So that's a great section in Colossians. There's more there, which we'll probably get into, you know, next month at the weekend, where we blot out handwriting of ordinances and all that stuff and see some of that wonderful, wonderful truth. All right. So, Father, we're certainly thankful for your blessings. Thankful, God, that you have called us to such a great place, to dwell with you in the heavenlies, to be your sons and daughters, and to have all the fullness of your love, your grace, your power, your strength dwelling within us, just like it was within your Son, Jesus Christ. Thankful, God, for these things. Thank you that we can remember them day by day, not with any kind of haughtiness, but with great humility, knowing that you've done so much for us, and it cost you so much. And we're so very thankful. Thankful, God, that you continue to work with us and overlook our shortcomings. Thankful, God, that you continue to bless our lives in a way that we could not have imagined. Thank you, Father, that we can continue to strengthen one another as members of the body of Christ, and that our fellowship can continue to be sweet, continue to be encouraging, and continuing to be with great love for one another. We're thankful for these things and for a great week ahead as we walk out knowing who you have made us. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay.